powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Welcome in to Jake and Stacy. Joining us right now, talk a bit of Seahawks, is Brock Heuer. Brock, how are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was on Medved. I was listening on Comrex 10. Is this not Michael Medved?
Who's this? You're good. This is Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross, your longtime friend.
Real.
Wow. The disrespect has been noted. You should be very excited to be with us because we're very excited to have you, Brock. And you guys, you and your pal Mike, just recorded a new Brock and Sock podcast morning. You guys can download that.
It's probably the hottest one we've had yet.
Yeah.
As far as like opinion. Last week was emotional. This one's like, you guys have a great segment on hot takes. Hot.
Mm-hmm.
We had some hot takes on it just to give you a little teaser.
Okay. So I'm assuming you don't want to spoil anything. So I won't make you give it away here, but
I'll spoil it.
Oh yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right,
we can spoil it because we talked about we pulled up an oldie but a goodie. If you remember, good news, bad news, no news.
Sure do.
From the award.
Who could forget?
It's a great segment.
Who could possibly forget that sucker? So we did a whole good news, bad news, no news on a lot of Seahawk topics, and one of them was Russell being involved in the decision making for the coordinator. And I said, no news. He's not going to be involved. And it was like, whoa, what? Yeah, it was some silence on the other end. And then, I mean, he's going to be a consultant. Of course, he and Pete are going to talk. But do any of us believe, Jake, Stacy, C. Raj, do you believe that Russell's going to be in the room when they're discussing and making the final call of who they're going to hire? I'm sorry, I don't buy that.
Jake, do you?
No, I don't think so either. But I do think that it'll be different than what it has been in the past in the sense that there was no conversations with Russell Wilson. There was no, hey, Russ, what do you think? This was, hey, here's your guy. And so along with that, Brock, do you think that changes anything from the way that Pete Carroll and John Schneider are approaching this next hire? They are taking their time. They have floated out some names, intriguing names, not so intriguing names, Adam Gase being one of them. But how do you take the way that Pete Carroll is going about this offensive coordinator hire
I think it's pretty unprecedented. I mean, you tell me, C. Raj, I know Jake's a guru. You're kind of the, what was that guy on ESPN, the old show they had? Stump the
Schwab.
Yeah, you kind of Stump Schwab.
Love that show.
Yeah, of course you did. Stump the Schwab. So if you wouldn't mind, C. Raj, why don't you dig up and tell me the last time an offensive coordinator had quote unquote philosophical differences with his head coach after going 12-4, winning the division, and setting a franchise mark and point scored. Let me know the last time that happened. And that coordinator did not leave for a head job. He just left. I mean, it's unprecedented that I cannot remember for the life of me. Usually you go 12-4, win a division and set franchise marks and you're the next coach of your Arthur Smith, right? I mean, you're being elevated. You don't leave someplace with quote unquote philosophical differences between the two sides, Jake. So I think that very essence of it is led to, you know, just kind of an unprecedented process and a very different process than, as you said, they had the last two times this went around under Pete Carroll.
Do you think that approach that Pete might have philosophically is the right one to get back to a Super Bowl?
Can you define what that philosophical
approach
is?
Yeah, sure. In my mind, I should do that. He thinks that establishing the run, and I know this is overused, but that having a better run game is how Russell Wilson is at his best. I don't know that I necessarily disagree with that. What I worry is that they disregard some of Wilson's development or creativity in the pass game in order to help Wilson get the benefit from
that. I think if he were joining us right now, oh, hold on. Is that Pete Carroll? Pete Carroll's also supposed to be on Medved, but he's not going to be. He's going to join us right now. If he was, he would say, Stacy, I have never in my life said we're going to establish a run. I have said we are going to be balanced and we're going to have explosive plays. And in doing those two things, we can win the line of scrimmage and hopefully actually be able to block Aaron Donald and block Nick Bosa and block Chandler Jones, guys that we have really, frankly, not been able to do really in his entire tenure. I mean, those guys, you know, the San Francisco crew the last couple of years up front has owned them. The Rams have owned them, you know, for the entirety of Russell's career. And he's going to want to hire somebody that can say, hey, man, we're going to be balanced. I know what the run game is. And off of that run game comes explosives, which really evaporated in the second half of the year. And you know, as they face the elite defenses, and you're going to face them in this division, you are going to face the very best defenses. I know Brandon Staley left. That's going to be an unbelievably desirable job with Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald and that secondary. And the 49ers get everybody back next year. And the Cardinals get Chandler Jones back and, you know, a higher draft pick. And, I mean, it's just, you're going to have to win the line of scrimmage, which is something they just could not do philosophically the last couple years.
So, Brock, this leads me to this conversation because I was made fun of last year when we said Jack Conklin should be the move that they make.
Oh. Yeah.
And, oh, Jake, you don't understand the cap. Oh, Jake, that's too expensive, Jake. You need to spread things out. You need to spread
Jake,
the wealth.
Who
you need to go through
that?
You need to go through the list of Groupons and look at
God,
what
I
the guys
third
you can
person Jake.
You
this
can go
fun.
Through. You can go through and get bargain deals with these other guys.
Sure.
Brock, so if you're telling me that you need to win the line of scrimmage and you need to control the line of scrimmage, wouldn't you need a better group up front to get
yes.
that done?
Yes,
can
you
they
would.
Can they do that with their current cap situation? How do they get that done?
Well, it'll be nice. I mean, they'll have a first rounder this year. First rounder.
Well, no,
year.
They don't. They don't. They
oh, shoot.
They traded that
no,
away.
They don't. They got a second, a fourth, and a sixth, and a seventh. That's going to be kind of hard. Well, at least they've got millions of. Oh no, don't get that either. No, you're right. It's going to take all the creativity in the world of John Schneider and Trent Kirchner and the pro personnel side to try to figure it out. Because you're right. The volume, and they've been a volume drafting team. They've been a volume free agent team, a bargain shopping free agent team. That's been problematic in developing that offensive line. Dwayne Brown's been an absolute stud. And when I hear people say, oh, my gosh, they've wasted the prime of Russell's career. Can't believe they wasted the prime of it. No, he's still got plenty of years. But you know who doesn't? Dwayne Brown. Mm. And you've wasted. And for those of us that have been in this market long enough, as everyone has, the four of us, you remember what life was like after Walter Jones, that decade of darkness trying to fill that left tackle spot. It's hard to do, really hard to do. And Dwayne's done it the last couple of years. So you've actually had the hardest piece on that O-line and in some ways have wasted a couple incredibly valuable years with him, with the supporting cast around him that's just frankly not been good enough to block the elites.
Would you keep Chris Carson? Bring him back, I mean?
I think Chris has kind of made his decision, right? I think he unfollowed just about everybody with the Seahawks. So I don't know if Chris Carson wants to be here. I don't think so, Stacey. Yeah. I think 4 years of never being able to really finish. This year, I guess he played in the playoff game, but that's just now. I don't think you can go down that road. I don't think you're going to meet his demands. I think he's going to be. I don't know. The market will be very fascinating on him because he's an uber talented guy at his best. He's a top five back in this league that's impossible to tackle. But I think he's just from a dependability and a reliability standpoint, I think you've got other fish to fry.
Now, Brock, coming back to the offensive coordinator conversation real
quick. Can you do it in third person for me?
Well, I can try, but Brock, I only have so many of those in me. I only have so many of those a day, okay? So I just wasted mine on you, so be grateful.
Sorry, Stace.
But when you look at the names that have been floated around from the names that have been interviewed and the names that are currently out there, I'll start with who has been interviewed by the Seahawks or reportedly interviewed first. Out of all those people, who would you want the Seahawks to bring on tomorrow?
Nate Carroll.
Okay.
You can hear him scoffing.
I do.
I'm sorry. That's not funny. That's not even funny at all. I would say of the names, the more I dig into this, and I was telling the guys this morning as I was looking up some numbers, Philadelphia was third in the league in yards per rush. Doug Peterson. Who's not known as necessarily a run guy, and it's not a run first, but he is a guy that knows the screen game. He is a guy that is kind of a power broker. He's got big stones. He loves to be aggressive. Comes from that Andy Reid, which you know you saw with the backup quarterback who threw a horrendous pick on 4th and inches with the game on the line. Said, "Yeah, we'll run sprint right option with Chad Henne, who hadn't done that in a game in 10 years and finished it." And I think Doug would be fascinating to challenge Pete. you know, would say, you know, and has a Super Bowl to back it up and say, no, man, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move Russ. We're going to screen. We're going to, you know, use fly sweep. We're going to use formations. We're going to push the ball down the field. I got DK and Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson. Are you kidding me? And he's been able to work with a mismatch of offensive linemen over the years. So at 5.0 yards per carry, they were third in the league were the Philadelphia Eagles. That shocked me. Anthony Lynn, the other interviewee, was 3.8 or 3.6, 30th in the league in yards per rush. No innovation, no creativity, never been a play caller. So I think of some of those names, and Jake, you and I agree, Nathaniel Hackett would probably be the one that I would go full guns a-blazing.
Yes, be but aggressive.
Pete,
do it.
I don't know if Pete's going to wait. I don't know if he's going to wait because I think they're going to win this weekend and be in a Super Bowl, and that's probably not a hire you can make for another 3 or 4 weeks. So, yeah, to me, the most intriguing thus far would be Doug Peterson.
Now, I'm not supposed to be taking the Adam Gase stuff seriously, am I? Because there's no way. No? You need to warn me.
Actually, if Adam Gase were a guest on your radio program,
I would delete that tape.
As I'm getting to be right now, and as he was on a Zoom meeting with me a month ago with the Jets beating the Rams, when I got a chance to you would actually like him. He's a funny, now he doesn't use Pete's language, and he's a little more on the negative bent. And I think he and Jamal Adams had a little bit of a fallout. So, and I know that Pete loves to bring people back together, but yeah, I think that'd be a bit of a stretch.
Okay. That's what I figured.
That'd just be yeah, he's a fascinating guy. He's fascinating. And, you know, he's Bill O'Brien or Gase were the two finalists down there at Alabama from what we've heard.
Yeah.
So I think that'd probably be a better avenue than Jamal and Pete and crew here. And I will say this. I really hope it's not a first-time play caller. That's like my biggest thing. Russell's going into year 10. When the Green Bay Packers went outside the box, when Aaron Rodgers wasn't a part of the decision making, when all of that went down and they hired Matt, LaFleur, the great thing about him is he'd been there. He called plays. Shanahan had called plays. These guys had called plays before. They know what that's like. I don't want someone on the job that's never done it. I don't want a learning curve. And I don't think Russell does at this stage of his career, nor DK, nor Tyler, because I don't care what you do, whether you're a radio host, whether you're a broadcaster, whether you sell real estate, whether you're Stump the Schwab, like there's no substitute for experience. You need experience. And that to me would be first and foremost. I want someone that's done it before.
Brock, what is going to be, outside of the offensive coordinator hiring, what is going to be the most difficult decision for Pete Carroll and John Schneider this offseason?
Man, there are a lot of them, Jake.
There are. I mean, that's why we pay you Brock, to ask you these types of questions right here.
Who is priority one? I'll say that. Like, for a decade, as we've watched John and Pete work, you do learn some things about them. And they put their priority list together and they say, okay, this is going to be top priority and we're going to get this done. We're going to get that done. It's their to-do list. And you tell me who their top priority. I would think it would be Jamal Adams. I mean, you've given up a first and a third. I mean, I would think you'd want to broker a deal with him. He's kind of loud, and everything is great right now. And there's a love fest going on, but when it's not going well and he feels disrespected, and if you don't get a deal done, now I don't know how he's going to sign it. He's going to have his right shoulder operated on, his left shoulder operated on, all his fingers operated on. So I don't know if he's going to be able to even sign a contract, but
physically,
I would think that would have to be, can you picture him with the pen in his mouth?
Somebody I like holding by it proxy. Like a crayon. Like
he's going to have to hire
fingers.
Somebody by proxy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can I just do DocuSign?
So I mean, I would have to think you're pot committed, right? You gave up all that capital. Now, get a deal done with him. And as he expressed in New York, he's willing to make that vocal. He's willing to bring it to the public. Right now, it's all private. Right now, it's all kumbaya. Right now, it's all happy between the sides. But he is one that will play his cards vocally if he doesn't like what, you know, you're offering. And if he thinks he's going to get $18 to $20 million a year because he's not a safety, he's a, what does he call himself? Just a baller?
He's a baller, a weapon. He's
a playmaker, just a positionless, you know, absolute stud, which in many ways is 9.5 sacks, kind of points to some of that. But getting that deal done, to me, from just a stabilization, he is a running hit. He's everything you want. They love him. But can you keep that love between the two going when it comes to business? That will be, for you two and C. Raj, a very fun storyline over the weeks and months ahead.
Oh, it will be. Do you anticipate, last question here, do you anticipate that timeline to be more like Russell Wilson or to be more like Bobby Wagner in terms of before training camp or during the middle of the offseason?
I mean, you have to get that done before you get other pieces done, because that is such a significant slice of the pie. I mean, that I would think you would have to kind of get that figured out, much like Jaron Reed was the first one a year ago at, you know, 12, 13 million a year or whatever it was. Like, hey, okay, this kind of starts our process. There's only so much, and we know that cap's going down. We know that Bobby's price is going up. We know that Russell's at 30-something million. Like, you know your sunk costs, and that's going to be the next biggest one. I think you have to get that one done before you can figure out the plan for all those other pieces.
He is Brock Huer. New Brock and Sog podcast drops tonight. You can download it this evening. Go to brockandsogpodcast.com. Thanks, Brock.
That was fun. See you guys.
See ya. All right, let's get to the NFL headlines. The Pro Football Hall of Fame Selection Committee is voting on the class of 2021 today. Here's who's up. Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, and Jared Allen. They're all first-time finalists. Others on the ballot include Reggie Wayne, Zach Thomas, Richard Seymour, Torrey Holt, and John Lynch.
Wow.
That's a good,
group. Calvin Johnson is already up for Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That is crazy. I mean, he did retire early. I just, for some weird reason, it still feels very recent to me. It's not, obviously, but it feels that way. Pretty crazy to see his name on there. But when you talk about other guys, because the names that you initially listed, I believe there's no question that they're going to get into the hall. Maybe Jared Allen would be a guy that might not get there the first time around, but the name that stands out to me the most, the two names of others on the ballot, would be Richard Seymour and John Lynch. Mm. Those two guys, Richard Seymour was a big part of that Patriots' first Super Bowl run under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and he was a major staple there. He might get passed over just because he's not the biggest, brightest name that you've seen, but in terms of his impact on the game, it was tremendous. John Lynch, I mean, the way he played the game, I mean, he was one of the last safeties to play the game with absolute reckless abandon. I mean, one of the more feared safeties in this league. So those would be the two names that I'm really curious to see if they end up getting on the Hall of Fame.
Now, talking about Calvin Johnson just a little bit more, three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, he will go down as one of the best players to never have a ton of postseason success. And you know this, Jake, about me, one of my favorite and most heartbreaking things I ever talk about, the best players to never have their careers pay off. He's one of them. He has appeared in two postseason games ever in his career and lost both of them.
Yeah.
One of the best wide receivers ever, particularly in the more modern era.
Yeah.
Never even won a postseason game.
No question. And
you wonder why I hope for that for Aaron Donald.
That's very different.
Come on. The Rams
have had way more success than the Detroit Lions ever have.
Also,
the Lions are not within the division. Okay, so that's another layer to it. But when you talk about Calvin Johnson, what he did, I mean, he was the guy. Everybody knew. He was double, triple covered and still would come down with it. And Matt Stafford just knew, hey, I could throw it up to this guy and still have a great chance of it not getting picked off. I mean, unbelievable career, legendary in terms of his size, his speed, his catch radius, all of it. Mm-hmm. Very unique and talented player. And Charles Woodson being a guy that was one of the greatest corners in the game and then making a transition late in his career with the Packers to safety and being one of the best safeties in the game for a short period of time. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment on his end as well.
Completely agree. The Baltimore Ravens will waive running back Mark Ingram and quarterback Robert Griffin III. Neither player is eligible to be picked up by the remaining playoff teams. But, Jake, something tells me the Seahawks are going to be taking a serious look at Mark Ingram. He is exactly the kind of guy that they would be looking at for running back depth. I mean, he's going to be 31 years old, 10-year veteran, but he reportedly wants to keep playing. That's according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Had a pretty good second part of his career, too, with Baltimore. I would be surprised if the Seahawks didn't at least kind of keep an eye on this to see where he signs. Not because he's going to come in and be their guy of the future. Again, he's 31 years old, but because they could be losing out on Chris Carson and they need to be looking at all of their options.
They do. They do need to be looking at all their options. I'm not particularly thrilled with signing somebody at 31 years old who didn't have the greatest season. I mean, it's different between hiring or bringing on Ingram and Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde was coming off a 1,000-yard season, whereas Ingram is coming off of a year where he had less than 300 yards. Still 4.2 yards per carry, but significantly dipped in his production. But yeah, it's certainly a player that you're intrigued by. He's one of those guys as a leader. He's a tone setter. It might be an interesting approach if you're going to do running back by committee, but you're going to have to. I think I would be more comfortable bringing back Carlos Hyde at a discounted price than necessarily going after Mark Ingram if you're just looking at it from a health and production standpoint.
I do agree, especially if it's either or.
If anything, he's a great locker room presence. Mm-hmm. I mean,
your hype man?
Yeah, no one in Baltimore is going to speak ill of Mark Ingram, the person.
For sure.
Like you said, Stacey, that dude cheered up Lamar Jackson more than anybody.
Yep. I have now opened up the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line to a wave of all-time greats that saw little postseason success. Barry Sanders, someone else worth mentioning. How many of these guys were just with Detroit? Like, how many great players will go down as, like, being one of the best players who just saw no postseason success? Barry Sanders, 1-5 in the postseason. Ugh, my heart's breaking. The Bills will prepare to face either Chad Henne or Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is still in concussion protocol after being forced out of the game in that win over the Cleveland Browns. The game is more fun with Mahomes in it. No offense to Chad Henne. Last second go in that game. You got the job done. Anything is possible, but let's be real. We are all hoping Mahomes is playing.
Yeah. That's no offense.
Even Chad Henne is hoping Mahomes is playing.
He knows. Yeah, 100% he is. But is there anybody that has doubt that Mahomes is going to play in this game?
I do slightly, because I do think that they are strict about that concussion protocol. I don't think, even for Patrick Mahomes, I don't think they will be willing to just like be like, oh, let him go back out there. He could barely walk.
He
couldn't even stand up.
He's playing.
That
was scary that when it happened in the moment, but everything that happened since that time, Stacey, all the reports, hey, Patrick Mahomes feels good. He was trying to get back into the game, you know, this, that, and the other. I think that Patrick Mahomes is playing without question.
All right. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be taking your questions for What I Need to Know. It's called What Do You Need to Know? You're sending in to the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, 710-710. What I Need to Know is, followed by any question you want. Could be about football, baseball, sports, non-sports, anything you want. That's coming up at 1:45. Coming up next, getting back to that conversation about the OC, is this a can't-win scenario for Seattle? That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Now, those questions that we're going to be answering for What I Need to Know is going to be coming up at 45, but someone already texted one in. Just think about it. What I need to know is, which happens first, the Mariners contend for a wild card or the Seahawks get back to the NFC Championship game? Someone else texted in a similar one where they were like, who are you most optimistic for in the next 5 years, the Mariners or the Seahawks?
These are some interesting questions here.
Very interesting questions.
Ones that you really, really kind of have to think about.
Whew. Again, What I Need to Know, that's coming up at 45, 710-710. Send your question in there. What I need to know is what? All right. So again, we'll get to that in 15 minutes. Before we do, let's get back to the Seahawks being in what Curtis Rogers is calling a can't win situation with their OC hire. And honestly, I don't think he's wrong. So the recent name linked to Seattle is Adam Gase. This isn't meant as a personal slight to Gase, although it will be hard not to come off that way. This is one of the only ways I see a losing situation. Like I do not see really any significant portion of Seahawks fans being happy with the OC hire if it's Adam Gase. This is a guy that oversaw a 2-win season with the Jets. left as the most unpopular head coach there, was unpopular when he was hired, and had some not so great kind of reviews coming from the Miami Dolphins locker room when he went to New York.
Right.
All of that's pretty problematic. Tack on that one of the best players he's ever overseen, that he got into a rocky relationship with, is now your player.
Correct. That part of it is something that you do not like. And also, when you look at it, for example, with a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who is a better than average quarterback in this league and has played very, very well at certain times, right? He is playing his best football at once he got away from Adam Gase in the Miami Dolphins. So there's a couple things that you look at there with Adam Gase, and you say, I don't think that that's going to be a great relationship, that is going to be a Super Bowl winning relationship between Pete Carroll, Adam Gase, Russell Wilson, and this offense. But I do like the fact that the Seahawks are looking into, as of right now, it appears to be that they are looking into nearly every single name that is out there. We've only heard a couple names leaked out in terms of interviews that have been conducted, which I think is interesting, but they are doing their due diligence in this process. We're on day 7 right now. I feel like Tom Hanks in Castaway. It feels like it's that long, you know, stranded on an island, growing a beard, long hair. But you have to be patient in this process to really ensure that you're getting the right guy. And that to me is encouraging. But you're right. There is going to be a level of expectation here in Seattle for this offensive coordinator that's going to be really, really difficult to live up to. But the good thing is that it's not like you're walking into a situation that is dire or devoid of talent. You're walking into a pretty good situation offensively. When you look at your quarterback, you look at the weaponry in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. There are pieces to work with here. And we'll see what the additions they make in the offseason. But I think that when Brock Ewer came on with us earlier, he 100% nailed it in the sense that it's got to be someone that they bring in that has experience calling plays in this league, that has experience elevating quarterback play. They have experience in terms of getting the most out of the talent around them. They have experience to the point where Pete Carroll doesn't need to look over their shoulder. It has to be somebody that can command a strong presence.
Can you guys think of a team that was this successful in the regular season for so long and had such a, I don't want to say a hot seat, Pete Carroll isn't going anywhere, just signed an extension, but I think such like a dissatisfaction and frustration with the fan base heading into a new season. You've got your franchise quarterback locked up, and I'm not, devaluing that. I think that's totally valid. But you've got your franchise quarterback locked up. You've got a great wide receiver duo with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. First two 1,000-yard receivers since 1995. You have some game changers on defense. You've got a team that continually makes the playoffs. You've also got a team that hasn't gotten back to an NFC championship. So when you are coming in as offensive coordinator, you're also assuming some of that burden.
You are.
Right away.
100%. And that's why you cannot risk this with somebody that you just like because they're a good leader, right? They're a good personality, but they don't have the pedigree as a play caller to back that up. You can't bring in a first-time play caller to try and figure this out on the job. This is a win now situation. You are in your guaranteed Super Bowl window right now if you're the Seattle Seahawks, and that's why there's pressure for any offensive coordinator that comes into this situation. So that's why, to me, out of any of the people that have been interviewed, it's Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson walks into the building with, I think, commanding great respect for what he's been able to do as a head coach in this league, for what his background has been in terms of developing quarterbacks and putting together an offense that has a unique dynamic attack and I think can fit the skill set of everybody on your roster, and also is a head coach quality type of coach that Pete Carroll should work with, not have to try and control. And that's really what you're looking for. Any of the great organizations in this league, Stacey, there's trust. There's trust amongst coaches, and there's not as much meddling. Right? I take care of my job. I know my responsibility, and I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to let the other person on the other side of the ball do their thing. Now, there's conversation, obviously, but that doesn't mean that you hire somebody that you greatly respect and you trust to make the right decisions in critical moments and put your team in the best position moving forward. That's what's got to happen here.
I sometimes don't know where to steer this conversation. I want someone to come in and make the most of Russell Wilson while you have him here. I'm assuming he finishes his career in Seattle, but who knows? I also think that you're coming into a situation that has felt a lot like running into a brick wall. And I think that fans, many fans, some aren't, but many fans, are currently this offseason at a place where they're starting to say, where's the wall? What is it? Is it Pete Carroll? Is it Russell Wilson's ceiling? Is it John Schneider's drafting? What is it? What's been keeping them out of it? And if not to circle back, but if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm thinking, man, I could have a heck of a weapon with Russell Wilson and with DK Metcalf and with some of the other weapons we have here. Like, this is so exciting. What an opportunity. At the same time, I'm also looking as an offensive coordinator trying to figure out what that wall is and trying to figure out, like, can I break it? Is it that we aren't coming up with the right game plan? Am I looking at Green Bay thinking Seattle could have made this a better game against the Rams if they just would have done these very fixable things? Or am I thinking this is an environment where a head coach is going to be meddling and where a quarterback and head coach are going to have different ideas about how to win? I mean, I think that there is a conversation to be had about the burden that is going to fall on an offensive coordinator's shoulders here. Now, this is a lot of speculation.
Yeah, but that's also why, for all those reasons, Stacey, this isn't the most obvious. You haven't heard from people in the national media saying this job is the most coveted job on the market.
You haven't.
Part of that, though, is that there's been a lot of head coaching openings, and there are still a lot of those bigger names, those innovators that are being picked off.
But it is kind of weird. If this was week 8 and this job came open, I mean, it wouldn't, but just say, when we're talking about Russell Wilson, MVP week 8, DK Metcalf taking over the league. Imagine the conversation that would have been happening with this same job.
Yeah. I mean, people would be loving it. And that's also around the time where, you know, Pete Carroll got his contract extension and things were rolling. And you look at this offense and the way that they were dealing and the way your quarterback was playing. Absolutely. But I think there's been a narrative that has been created here, and some of it valid, that Pete Carroll wants to play a brand of football and wants to have his hands into what's going on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think that that's necessarily a winning formula for you long term with the way that this organization or the way that this roster is set up right now. That's why I think a guy like Peterson could be the answer for you, because I don't think that happens as much. And, you know, you talk about, you know, I think that those expectations for somebody are very real in terms of looking at it from Russell Wilson's ceiling. I've heard that a couple different times. Russell Wilson's ceiling is what he was weeks 1 through 8. One of the best quarterbacks in the league that can torch anybody, that can put up big numbers, that can, you know, when he is dealing and at his best, he's arguably the best quarterback in the league. That's his ceiling. Now, how can you get him to be at that for a sustained period of time? I think part of that has to do with game planning. I think part of that does fall on the responsibility of your play caller to put your best players in the best positions at all times, and give them all the tools in the arsenal to be able to go and attack even the best defenses in the league. And that's why this position that they're searching for in terms of finding this replacement is so darn important. Mm-hmm. It can't be settled for somebody that I know is just going to stick to
You can't have an
my
interim
philosophy.
Guy here.
You can't.
You need the guy.
Yes, you need the guy. The guy.
All right. What you need to know is coming up next. So here's what we need you to do. 710-710. That's a Fizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Text in your question. What you need to know. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's what I need to know. Text your question, any question. What I need to know is blank into 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Now, I've got some questions I'm going to ask us. Before I do that, though, someone texting in an opinion, not a question, but I really like this moment of self-reflection. And you know what? I'm coming to terms with it, too. From the 425, I've tried to come to terms with why I feel like such a snob of being a fan with a team that went 12-4. And then I came to the realization that there are just a lot of good teams out there right now. You have to be elite to have a chance. At the very least, great on one side of the ball and no less than average on the other side. We might not even be a top five team in the AFC, let alone the NFL. Wow. That is a
strong
text
take.
And a half. That is a strong take. We aren't even a Bull Take Friday yet, but I like that one. All right. Let's start with some best food spots. I like the way this is phrased. From the 360, what I need to know, the best food spots around Washington. Now, I'm going to include the state as a whole. But what I'll say is, as someone that's from South Seattle, you didn't appreciate when I said the South Side. So let's say
no,
from
because
South
you're,
Seattle.
No, because you're South Seattle. You're not the South
from
Side.
From SeaTac,
the 253
Washington.
Is truly the South
that's
Side.
South.
As someone from SeaTac, Washington, there's some solid food spots in Burien. I like Angelo's and then Anthony's over in Des Moines. Shout out.
Okay.
Two good spots. Two staples for my family.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Cafe Rio. I feel like this is a place that nobody knows about.
I've never heard of
as
it.
As strong. You have heard about
no,
it.
No, I haven't.
Curtis and I talk about
well,
it all
outside
the time.
Of you guys talking
but,
about it.
Their tomatillo but, sauce.
Oh,
woo.
Their pork. Unbelievable. Yes. Cafe Rio is better than Chipotle.
Is there just one, though? Is it one of those things where it's like,
no,
oh,
it's,
yeah, there's a Sonic hidden in
no,
the
there's
rainforest?
No, there's one.
There's a
one
chain.
In, there, yeah, there's, it's a chain. They have a few here in Washington. Issaquah.
Federal Way.
Kent. Okay.
So, yeah, there's a few. But I would say Montezuma's, in terms of Mexican,
really good.
Yeah. I'm thinking of all places kind of in Tacoma, in that area.
Wouldn't it be funny if I came in and I was like, you know, Taco Bell is really...
True. Facts.
Boathouse 19 is really, really good. Enjoy that a lot. There's some good places. There's some really good places on the
I'm South partial side. To, in Auburn, uh-huh. It's a breakfast place called Sunbreak Cafe. It is incredible. And you know how breakfast places you can get like a biscuit or toast with your
yes.
meal? Here, you can get banana bread with it.
Woo!
And it's not just a slice. No, 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 no. It's not just a standard
a
operating
whole banana bread?
It's like a small loaf of banana bread. It's incredible.
I'm starving. Okay, how about
they're not
this
open
one?
Mondays, but they're open Tuesday through Sunday.
Ugh.
Shout out to Sunbreak.
From the 360, I need to know, what's a Netflix movie or show must-see? I really enjoyed The Queen's Gambit. I recommended that one 1,000,005 times on here already, but I really enjoyed it.
Mm. I know. You said it was the best of all time. Right
yep.
now, we just started watching Cobra Kai. Brooke and I did. We kind of binged like 4 episodes last night. Pretty good. Pretty good. I liked it. I'm into it now.
Oh, man. I love watching like cooking shows on Netflix. There's one that I forget what it's called, but they have to like redo leftover food now, and they have to make it gourmet.
Ooh,
yeah, it's pretty good. I forget what it's called. I watched like 4 or 5 episodes.
I got a wild card one for you guys here.
Okay.
Oh, I like
here we
it.
Go.
Okay.
Paul chiming in.
The second season's coming out. There is a series. It's called Blown Away, and it's all about competitive glass blowing. And so they make these sculptures, but during the competition, some of them break in the middle. So they only get like, you know, 12 hours to make this, and then it'll be 6 hours in.
Wow.
And then their thing breaks. It's pretty good.
It's like Cake Wars if they were to drop a cake. That's
yeah.
too much anxiety for
oh,
me.
Oh, it's a lot of things, but the stuff they make is pretty cool. The host,
okay.
though, meh.
206,
that's,
what
that's
I need
intense.
To know, Stacy, is how close you were to becoming a swimming superstar. Oh, incredibly close. The question for you, Jake, also from Christian, how close were you to becoming a dog?
A husky? Very close. I mean, they were in my top two. I mean, it was a really, really hard decision. Came down to UW and BYU, and yeah, I mean, diehard Husky fan my whole life. My family, diehard Husky fans my whole life. So, yeah, it was a tough decision. They just happened to be 0-12 the time I was making my decision. So it was tough, yeah.
What I need to know from the 253 is why Gase is still being talked about as possible OC replacement. The more we talk about it, the more likely it's going to happen. Please stop. It's from Chris and Enumclaw.
Chris, it's okay. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. At least
I really don't think it will.
At least I hope it doesn't happen.
If it does happen, I'm going to be like, Curtis, let's go in and erase all this entire podcast.
Scrub it all.
I don't want this.
January 19th did not happen.
And then we're going to edit it to where I'm like, you know, I could really see it happening. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Not only because it's kind of out of left field, but also because when Gase was most praised as OC, it was with a very pass heavy offense, and it made sense because it was with Peyton Manning. It's not like you're going to be balanced with him under center.
Well, I mean, think about the weaponry you had.
Yeah,
right.
You had,
I mean,
like
Peyton
three
Manning,
number one receivers.
You had Decker. You had Demaryius Thomas, who was playing unreal at the time. You had Julius Thomas, who they got unreal production out of him at the tight end position. You had Wes Welker. I mean, Of course, your offense was going to be unbelievable and dynamic.
What I need to know is which NFL team you're secretly rooting for when the Seahawks aren't playing. I am a sellout, and I like watching the Chiefs.
I go for the Chiefs
because they're fun, or I go for the underdog. So I loved seeing how far the Browns would go. I'm kind of rooting for the Bills. If you are an underdog or a franchise that has been cursed for years, then I root for you.
I have a really hard time rooting for anybody in the NFC, particularly these two teams with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. But I am rooting for the Bills. I am rooting for Josh Allen right now. I think that their story is pretty unique and different, and it's exciting. And to be honest, their fan base has really won me over over the season. And I think it would be awesome for them to be able to get back to a Super Bowl. It would be heartbreaking, though, for them after all the years and the run that they had of losing in the Super Bowl four straight years to have that happen to them again. But, hey, to get into the Super Bowl and to enjoy those 2 weeks, that'd be pretty exciting.
Popsicles or Otter Pops? Otter Pops. Popsicles hurt your teeth. You guys don't think so? Everyone looks very confused.
How do they hurt your teeth?
Because they hurt your teeth. You don't have sensitive teeth.
Well, why would you bite a popsicle?
I don't know, because you're eating it.
You're going to go... You don't bite
Sensodyne
a popsicle.
Sensodyne Stacy
over
there.
Yeah, but that's why you let the Otter Pops melt a little bit, and then you basically drink them. It's awesome.
Well, at the end when it's all gone...
Otter Pops are the best invention ever.
Curtis, Paul, am I doing this wrong? Am I supposed to go into a popsicle and bite it right away?
No, you gotta lick it, suck on it for a little bit.
Let it melt.
You bite a popsicle though. I've bit a popsicle.
Like right away.
Do you guys
eat
ice cream with your teeth?
Yeah, you don't go right away.
Right away, you're a madman.
That's a rookie. That's like Bodie for the first time.
You belong in jail if you do that. Okay.
Bodie for the first time when he had a popsicle at 1 year old, he went in, tried to bite it, and realized, oh, I can't do that. That's too cold.
All right, Stacey, what I need to know is, what are you talking about? That's fair. All right, he is Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. This is Ben, Jake, and Stacey. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob is next. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.